All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 929 FM, ESPN. Happy Friday, July 25th to you. Everybody's here and accounted for except for Brad Carson. But we've got a very able man here in his stead. His name is King George. We love having him on the ones and twos. George, give yourself a round of applause.
Let me see if I can find it.
Knew that might throw you off, but only for a millisecond. Now, George is smooth. That's how we like it around here, as you guys know. So we welcome him anytime we can get him. Happy Friday to you. John's got his Raiders regalia.
Tito!
Yeah. Think about it. Think about how excited you would be if Geno Smith was your quarterback, NFL fans all over.
It's going to be an experience.
I've been there.
Yeah, you got the old Geno.
Know that for John, it's an upgrade.
He said he didn't come to Vegas to roll the dice. He came to run the table.
What you running in the AFC West, Geno?
One last place. And five.
Exactly. It's going to be tough.
But maybe 2-4.
And then what the hell happened with Christian Wilkins? Bro got gangrene in the foot.
Old regime, we cut him, but we cut bait. We're moving forward.
Well, he's got a little problem with that. Let's figure that out first in court, right?
Yeah, I'm very confident.
Okay. What? How did we not rehab the foot correctly? We just didn't care? Raiders
know.
Ain't talking, as you see. They're mum. He's with them. He's not going to say anything.
That's right.
What are y'all trying to get back? $38 million,
bro,
from this
dude
who I thought was awesome coming over from the Dolphins, but apparently got hurt last year and did nothing for Crosby.
Shocker. Another big
poor
money
addition.
Free agent that did nothing.
Now, did Tom have anything to do with that?
No.
Okay, he had nothing to do with that.
That was the last year before he took over.
Okay. Well,
it was last summer.
Makes sense.
Last offseason.
Everything Tom's going to touch is going to turn to gold.
Yep.
And so it makes sense that Wilkins would be old regime. You're just cleaning out some of that nasty.
That's really what's happening, yeah. And if he's not going to come correct with his rehab, then you're not going to be a part of it.
Bro got paid and wasn't the same, was he?
It happens all the time in the NFL.
All the time.
Especially, honestly, not the profile, but with defensive linemen. Feels like it happens a lot with them. You know?
Yeah.
And safeties, too. Like, safeties kind of fall into that. But it feels like, you know, everybody else, when they get paid, I guess receivers, it can vary a little bit. But defensive linemen, I feel like the Raiders have been burned by more than any other position. I don't know why I feel that way, but that's how it feels.
Real quick, what's the best news you've heard out of Raiders camp early? That just in terms of most encouraging thing for you.
Oh, the Ashton Jeansey being a receiver out of the backfield.
I saw that. I said, very exciting.
Oh, this dude about to come
look
in.
At this guy.
This dude.
Look at this guy. Look at his energy. He may have the NFL's leading rusher on his hands. Perhaps it's asking
a
lot of a
receiver.
But we think that much of him.
And the leading receiver. He's going to be all-purpose. All-purpose, brother.
But a young Black McCaffrey, perhaps.
We got young Black McCaffrey. We got, mature Black Geno. I mean, our team is
putting
the black and silver in black.
Don't leave out Black Max.
And Black Max.
Black Max Crosby.
There's a revolution is coming to Vegas. I love this team. I love the feel of this team. And Pete at the helm.
With all that energy.
Pete's like the old cool white uncle. Like, come on, man.
Real quick, and you've got Justin Fields, who has a dislocated toe, I saw.
Yesterday morning was very scary.
Yeah,
Incredibly.
I saw Greeny get up and almost stop the show because Justin was being carted off.
Yeah.
So there was, like, it got real interesting when all the reporting at first was Justin Fields carted off with lower leg injury.
Right.
Of course,
we saw leg at first.
It's the fan.
Yeah.
Turns out he was just riding shotgun on the cart because his toe was looking sideways and it's not supposed to.
A toe is, I think, technically part of the leg.
It's on there.
I mean, it's
connected.
They were considering something much more serious. That's why it was initially that. But he was able to walk off after the cart.
No doubt.
Tough dude. Back out there today?
Yeah.
Back out there today.
He's not running drills, but he's out there around.
How can you push off with a dislocated toe?
You can't. You just can't. I will say, I understand why you guys were so scared, because without Justin Fields, you would go from a 4-win team to a 3-win team. I mean, and that's
with
unfathomable.
Tyrod.
Yeah. That's a very scary thought.
Can you imagine pinning your hopes to that QB room?
I cannot.
Justin.
They have managed to do
Justin
it, though.
Justin and Tyrod.
Like, we had a whole day yesterday to Justin Fields' toe, as if this man about to lead them to an AFC East championship.
Most he going to do is win 4 or 5 games.
At most.
Yeah, I will give him. He was 4-2 last year with Pittsburgh, right before he got shut down and went to Russell, whatever.
But we all saw where that was going.
Well, it was going to get run to the ground. I've seen it before.
Yeah.
You kill him because you run him for about 1,700 yards.
That's right.
He still can't throw.
He cannot throw. He cannot process. So.
Good luck. Yeah, good luck keeping him alive for 17 games.
That's a tough sell, dude.
Oof.
That's a like Geno.
Tyrod, stay ready.
Like Geno, top 10. Like, let's just go through the quarterbacks on this show right now. Geno, obviously top 10. Caleb is one of the hot upshot quarterbacks in
the NFL. Talking about
top
10's us. Pushing. Nobody's talking about us. Everybody's talking Drake
top 10
May.
Top 10 is not pushing it.
We're not top 10.
And then Justin Fields.
Who has the best QB in the room?
It's not me.
It's Geno today.
My ceiling is higher.
Your ceiling is most
ceiling
definitely
is definitely
higher.
The highest.
Your dude has hit his ceiling.
That's
we
right.
know what he
That's
is.
Right. I mean, who like,
you have the most accomplished quarterback.
Who would I rather have in the next 4 years? I would probably, it'd be close.
We're going
I'd say
Caleb.
Probably Caleb.
What's special with Ben Johnson?
Yeah.
Come on.
But who would I rather have over the next 2 years? I would say Geno. Two to Geno, four Caleb.
Geno's going to be doing a lot of handing it off.
Bro, Geno, I'm telling you, he's going to show the world. How many times has he been written off, but he ain't right back, though? That's why they pay him the big bucks. He's here to run the table in the AFC West, is what he said. He's here to beat the Chiefs twice, man.
Both of you guys. Good luck.
Yeah, we're excited.
It's exciting having the NFL back.
It is, and we're only we do the countdown like we're in, you know, Shawshank Redemption. 6 days until our first preseason game.
You'll be reacting this time next week. Preseason game.
That's right, and you will be here, and that's what you don't know yet. You will definitely be here,
shamed like a slave.
I did not say that. There will be compensation, but
we'll see about that.
But yeah, you're right. There will be reaction on this show in about a week. We're looking forward to Chargers and Lions. Who would we probably be seeing Hendon Hooker in that game, right? He's the backup in Detroit.
I didn't think about that.
And then who is the Chargers backup quarterback?
No, that's a good question.
Is it still Easton?
It's Heineke.
Oh, they brought in Taylor.
And Trey Lance.
Okay.
So there you have it.
News to us.
Yeah. Definitely.
Trey trying to keep the career going.
He's a preseason star. He does
really
pretty
is.
Well in preseason. Yeah. And then he never gets a chance ever after that. So anyway, we have a big show today. Joe Theismann's going to join us in the next segment. We'll talk to him.
Keep the NFL thing going.
Yeah, he's speaking of quarterbacks, you know, his franchise has a stud.
Well, he's got the one you want.
That's
right. Let's just be real.
That's right. Now, he's going to have to avoid a couple of things. I mean, injury with that frame and a sophomore slump like we saw with CJ.
Well, they went out and got him Tunsil too, didn't they? Well, you think that would help him just in terms of protecting him.
Yeah, fair point.
Although, how much protecting did he do of CJ last year? Where is he in terms of his career arc now? You're not getting him at his peak, I imagine.
That's right.
But it's all in line of trying to further insulate Jaden, give him, you know, more weapons, more protection.
That's right.
Yes.
So we'll talk to him about that. We'll talk to him about Aaron Rodgers. Talk to him about the NFL. And then we will get his thoughts on this Memphis football scandal. I don't know what you want to call it. Controversy with
the
leaked playbook. Yeah. Great job by Sam Shoemaker. I heard Calkins, you know, Calkins is trying to say that Memphis journalism is back. You know, he was trying to, like, give off that we haven't had nothing in a while. You know, maybe he's right. Maybe we haven't had that, you know, because there was me, and then there was, like, was there a drought? I mean, maybe there was a drought. I came out in 2013. You know, I guess Gabe came out of journalism, right? But he's a football guy. Kind of had both going for him, right? I don't know which part he more identifies with. We'll have to ask him. But here comes Sam Shoemaker on the scene.
Shoemaker.
Making shoes, right?
I'm digging in.
Digging in.
Digging in
with them shoes. And gets a hell of a story. You know, we may look back and this may be Sam Shoemaker's Gary Parrish, Albert Means moment. I think Gary Parrish also had a story when he was at the helmsman about Jimmy Snap Hunter getting the presidential exemption. Or would that have predated him, or would that have been?
I don't know. Well, sounds about right.
Because GP was before you, right?
Yeah, Walken.
I mean, like at the University of Memphis.
Yes. A couple of years. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was talking B-Rider.
Yeah.
Yes, he was before me.
Yeah,
a
I think
of years.
He had.
You know, we're like, he's younger.
Yeah.
I was that old late student coming back.
Right. I want to say, though, he had the Snap Hunter presidential exemption piece from the president. So, anyway, this may be Sam Shoemaker's moment at the University of Memphis. So, anyway, he had the story about Owen McCown and former Memphis DB Taj Rael in their Instagram DMs, you know, and Rael leaking elements of the Tigers' defensive playbook and signals and intel about injuries and things like that to the UTSA quarterback. Now, of course, we know UTSA went on to win that game. It was Memphis' second loss of the season. It was Memphis' second conference loss. So basically eliminated them from AAC contention.
Sure did.
So there's a lot of scrutiny on this game. And so we'll talk to Joe Theismann about it at 11:25. Then at 1:25, Parthu Padjai is going to join us. He had a great piece up at the Daily Memphian about an interview that you did with Paul Feinbaum earlier this week.
It wasn't me.
Listen, I will say we knew at the time that Paul Feinbaum was going nuclear. Right?
It was like a day later.
It was.
The reaction.
But the ripple effect was felt. Because Calkins thought the interview was yesterday.
I didn't think it was
necessary. No, it's fine. It's really not.
I didn't.
But I think it's just like this week has been, we have given you guys such a week of guests. We've given you Justin Fuente. We've given you Paul Feinbaum. Mm. We've given you Joe Theismann. Mm. What more do you want from the show? You guys are insatiable.
Mm. Yeah, it's that time.
But it is that time. We'll talk to Parthu Padjai about that. The latest with Memphis basketball. And more. So looking forward to catching up with Parth at 1:25. So that's the show today. But yes, it feels like all the rage right now in the story of AAC Media Days, the American Media Days, is this controversy. Like I said, I think maybe did we not talk about this yesterday? I can't remember if we talked about it yesterday.
If so, we only touched on it.
Right.
But what's new now is that we can see the texts have come out since our last show.
That is true. That is true. And that adds a lot of color to it.
Right, it did.
So basically, you know, Taj Rael was a guy who was kicked off, suspended, whatever, from the team for, I believe Hitman Hoops had the initial.
Was it Hitman initially?
When he was suspended.
Okay.
During the season. And I think it was like.
Because dismissed in October, does that sound about right here? And that would have been before the game in November.
Yes.
Right? So we need our timelines.
Yes.
For those kind of just kind of coming in and
grabbing. No, Taj Rael has been an absolute menace. For the University of Memphis, he was dismissed and he was dismissed in August.
Okay, earlier than that. Okay,
yeah.
Okay, I got my months wrong.
Yeah,
I thought I heard that earlier.
So that for a violation of team rules, and according to Hitman Hoops, it was he allegedly stole items from a teammate and pawned them.
Okay, not brought back though. I thought I read somewhere in some comments
was brought back.
In August, you're saying?
Because the starter, Cortland Marsh, got hurt, and Silverfield decided to bring him back. And I guess maybe he was dismissed again.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah, because if he's not, if that bring back is not happening right there in August, yeah, that's my understanding. That's why we had the dismissal in October, and folks saying you never should have brought him back.
So that's what happened.
I've seen in some comments.
He was dismissed
and some
in August because he pawned a teammate's PS5.
And you brought him back
for depth purposes.
That's what I'm saying. There have been criticisms of bringing him back.
Then dismissed again.
Then you do it.
In October.
Because this game is in November. Right? This game.
And
this
then
game.
He's steaming over there. And decides he's going to get his lick back.
I'm just saying that's a critical part that you of this story. It seems like to me that you had a chance to go ahead and let him stay cut loose.
Yeah,
but because you needed the body, and let's be real, we remember a situation like that. Malco, didn't Penny kind of need the big two? Malco
sure
was on his way at St. Louis. You know, kind of again, not to compare, not apples to apples necessarily, but point being, you brought him back.
That's right.
So, that, you know, that's a key. A guy who, questionable character, has already burned his teammates once.
Right. Right.
You burn one of them, you burn the whole locker room.
Yeah.
What was it? Selling the PlayStation or whatever?
Pawning it.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, I mean, you would have bought it because, I mean, you spent like $1,000 for it. He probably would have given you a deal.
Crazy prices.
But it was hot, though. It had been a hot PS5, so you'd had to live with that on your conscience.
I'm just saying, you brought him back, questionable character already, then he burns you again. Whose fault? What did they say about fool me once?
No doubt.
And then fool me twice.
No, I don't know what. I guess we do know. It was like he stole a teammate's PS5, bro, like, and pawned it. I mean, I can't. I know I need depth, but do I need that guy in my locker room?
So,
anyway.
Questionable character, we've established, that you brought back.
Questionable decision. To bring that questionable guy back.
It's a part of the story.
That's right. And then the Instagram that we see, and it looks like this screenshot is taken from the perspective of Taj Rael. Because it's showing, like, when you send a message, a DM on Instagram, it's purple, right? And then you see the profile of Owen McCown. It's not from Owen McCown's perspective. But basically, you can see a cutoff picture of like what appears to be signals and parts of the playbook. And Tajrael says, "Here you go, though. That's all the signals." Oh, and McCown sends back crying, laughing emojis. And then Tajrael follows up with, "Far left is coverages. I'll send you a better list showing you the call. But they run quarters, and none of these safeties can cover, by the way. No reroutes on the slot. The field safety is the weakest link in the defense. His hamstring hurting, but he's running out of eligibility. So when you play him, he numbers zero."
He's running out of eligibility, so he has to be out there despite the injury.
Exactly. I think that's what he's getting at. That. Okay, like he's playing hurt because this is all he can do.
He has to be out there. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Anyway, Owen McCown says, "Bet, but let me know if they cut your stuff. I'll put in a word." I don't know what that means necessarily.
I took that as when Memphis, you know, cuts you off, which
right.
they've already done. Maybe he doesn't know all the details. We're going to get you hooked on with another team, no?
Yeah, I don't
know.
Am
I looking at that wrong?
I honestly don't know if that's like football parlance for like your stuff, meaning like your side. It could mean that. It could mean what you said, like, you know, that if you
What was
just,
yours?
Like if like his assignments or I don't know. Like I mean, I don't
But he's
know.
Not on the team now.
He's not on the team, no. Right. I don't know. But if he's already been cut.
Just a flat put snake and burned you twice.
Yeah, either way, it was extremely low down for Tajrael to do this.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think this happens often?
No.
You don't?
No.
Where guys kicked off the team and will give information back to other players, information like this?
Detailed with pictures and notes like this. I do not think
that happens. In situations where guys are dismissed, you don't think that guy goes, when he's got an ass to grind, goes back and says some things whether along these lines.
I would say no because
he did send those sheets. But yeah,
I think no because it's such a cardinal sin. It feels like as a teammate, and isn't football like the sport where it's like you betray me? Like I'm never like we're supposed to be in the trenches together. Like you're betraying me in a way that feels unforgivable.
I think in the situations where I feel like I did wrong, so I understand why I'm being dismissed. I'm down with that.
Yeah.
I'll stick to the code, but where I've got an axe to grind,
yeah.
And I'm not absolving him here. This is a snake move. It's a dirty move.
Yeah.
But if I've got an axe to grind, then
I mean, I
then
I don't know.
Why
yeah.
wouldn't I give information on a team that's cut me loose twice?
And I'm sure there's like exchange.
I can't stand
of, yeah.
the coach and all that stuff and all. I'm just
I mean it could be.
I'm not saying it's out here everywhere. I just imagine stuff like this along these lines probably does happen, and we never see anything of it.
So if let me just ask this: if this show
still a rat, though.
If this show breaks up, are you going to send messages to my ops that we had?
No. Right. I would have to be booted twice. It's not about this show breaking up. I'd have to be stealing from you. You That's brought right. me back, but then maybe I got a problem with that, and then you
That's
brought
right.
and then whatever issue you know we had in October, you
That's
dismissed
right.
me. Why was he dismissed again in October?
That's a good question. I don't know.
That's where maybe that axe to grind
right.
comes in.
Well, because Courtland Marsh was clearly back.
Right.
And he was playing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so now he's back. He's going to cut me loose again.
Yeah.
See, I'm with you on most that understands, hey, I crossed the line here for getting dismissed. No, you're not going to cross the line by giving them the stuff. But in this case,
yeah.
you got an axe to grind. I think a lot of people probably do that to their right. former teams. You know,
right.
give out some information.
Now, we
now,
do
he
have.
He threw for 280.
Right. Yeah. It wasn't like he had like 500 yards like Brett Favre after his dad died. It wasn't like that, you know, but it was, you know, their best offensive performance in a while. I mean, I think they were definitely like coming into that thing limping, banged up. Now, I would also say like they were up, like the coach did a great job. We said that time and time again. Like he got them up for that one, bro. Like it was the Super Bowl. He was like, they got more money. We got nothing. They're treating us like the bottom of the shoe. Like, we're broke out here. They got all the money. They live in the Ritz-Carlton. We live in the shotgun house. Like, we got nothing. And they, you know, so the coach did a great job motivating them, right? But did they have additional, you know, information? We actually have audio from AAC Media Days today.
Yes.
Ryan Silverfield has addressed it. Owen McCown, the quarterback at UTSA, has addressed it. And Jeff Traylor, the UTSA coach, has addressed it. Let's start from the UTSA side. Can we do that? This is Owen McCown, the quarterback, who, of course, was in those messages. This is what he had to say, and I believe this video is courtesy of Jonah Dillon. Yeah, so do you think they have a line that they're sticking to? Completely irrelevant? Completely irrelevant? Completely irrelevant? Completely irrelevant? sounded like Trump with the Epstein files, dog. Completely irrelevant. Completely irrelevant. Completely irrelevant. So that was Owen McCown. Again, you're going to hear a theme. This is UTSA coach Jeff Traylor, who he and Silverfield got a little thing going, man.
Oh, yeah. I'm loving it.
It's really sad we don't have this game on the schedule. Can the American amend this?
Go back.
Yeah. Like, switch something out, man. Change some stuff. This is Traylor on the situation. So there's some information. Taj Rael and Josh McCown Owen McCown were teammates early in McCown's high school career when he was at Myers Park High School in Charlotte,
mm-hmm.
when his dad was still a Panther, I think. Josh. Isn't his dad Josh McCown?
They look just alike. They look just alike. Maybe. Maybe, but they look.
Definite relation.
Yeah. McCown moved to Texas, and that's where he finished his high school career. So they're high school teammates. So that would explain a little bit more of the random, you know, let me reach out to my dude here and help him out.
And then our young man has now responded through representation?
Yes. So Taj Rael has representation, Prestige Pro Sports. In light of recent reports surrounding our client Taj Rael and the allegations stemming from his time prior to leaving Memphis, we feel it is important to address the situation directly. This has been a difficult period for all involved. While there are differing perspectives on what occurred, Taj acknowledges that errors and judgments may have been made. At no point was there any intent to harm teammates or compromise the integrity of the game he loves. Taj holds a deep respect for the sport of football, his fellow athletes, and the opportunities he's worked hard to earn. As he turns the page on this chapter, Taj is fully committed to personal growth and accountability both on and off the field. We ask the public and media for understanding and privacy as Taj takes the necessary steps to reflect, rebuild, and contribute positively for the prestigious Purdue University Athletics Program, which has offered him a second chance and a platform to prove his character and dedication. He's ready to move forward, give everything he has to his new team, and make the most of the opportunity ahead.
Okay, so Purdue is keeping him.
Seems like, yeah.
Wow.
Because they released a statement yesterday where they called it a miscommunication or a mischaracterization or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm. And giving him now, as the rep put it, a second chance.
Yes.
They've characterized this enough that you staying around is a second chance.
According to Purdue's statement, our coaching staff sees the scenario as being mischaracterized and does not have any concerns moving forward. I don't really know how you could look at that and say it is what it is.
I mean, again, clearly when his own rep is saying they're giving us a second chance, that they're saying one thing publicly, but they thought this was serious enough to say, look, dude, you're on thin ice. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So, yes, you're right. Publicly, they're saying one thing. You're right, though, John. They have to look at this as serious enough. When he's in your locker room,
yeah.
He burned Memphis twice.
That's right.
You know, and you can look at Memphis again. Well, you let him burn you twice. And now you can look at Purdue. Okay, you're going to bring him back after he did this? Better not get on his bad side.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt, because he will flip on your ass.
And then once he's cut loose, if he loses this chance, I don't even know why he's being represented. You will never get into another locker room again, certainly not another Division I locker room.
Well, we also have Ryan Silverfield's comments on this. Been very curious about what does he have to say.
Yes.
As we know.
Got money. I'm kidding.
We know, the only reason why Memphis lost the game was because that the UTSA had the signals. Let's see if he agrees. This is Ryan Silverfield from Media Day. So he said there was a phone call. To his credit, he said that Jeff Traylor did answer. I wonder if it was like that Liam Neeson phone call from Taken, man, when he's like, I will not look for you. I will not pursue you.
Yeah, lucky they didn't pit me against you. Ha ha.
I will find you, and I will kill you. That was from Taken, yeah, the first one.
Pretty good, Liam Neeson. I'm not sure how I feel about him as the new Naked Gun guy, but we can talk about that in a separate segment.
Kind of feels like he's everything. Like, he's been everything in his career, hasn't it?
Yeah. You can't go from serious action actor to clown.
Who's he replaced? Steve Martin?
No, Leslie, I can't remember Leslie's last name. Frank Drebin, this was a long time ago, Naked Gun series.
Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah, Nielsen.
Yeah.
Should know that. Side note.
Yeah. Well, Steve Martin and Leslie Nielsen, it's easy to get them confused, bro.
White hair, I guess.
White man, white man goofy
shouldn't confuse
actor.
People of his own race.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, again, to you, all the gray hairs look the same.
I mean, Steve Martin and Leslie Nielsen, I mean, cheaper by the dozen, weren't they both in that?
I'm assuming
I don't think they were.
You have, yeah.
I very rarely pulled it up. I'm like,
don't remember them crossing.
I'm about a 32% shooter with things like that.
Don't remember their streams, career streams crossing.
But yeah, that was Ryan Silverfield's response. So I don't know.
How do we feel? How do we feel?
It just kind of feels like, you know, I don't know. We'll talk to Joe Theismann. But my guess is that they look at it like we live in 2025. Everything we do is so easily, you know, discoverable. You can analyze it. You can break it down in film. You can, like, there's just really, with all the cameras and things like that.
Bless me.
Thank you. There's just no hiding what we're doing, you know? So I guess a lot of it has to, like, it feels like this would have been a bigger story in 1980. Like, when there were no, like, every game wasn't on TV, and there were, like, there was real alpha to be found out there. I mean, the most egregious thing is about the injury, right? I mean, because the signals are whatever. It's like, hey, this guy is injured. Go at him. I mean, that's, but again, I think within probably 4 or 5 plays, they would have figured that out, right? I mean, so what are we really talking about? I don't think it's a mischaracterization so much as it is, maybe it's just not that big of a deal in 2025. I don't mean that to diminish the reporting of Sam Schumacher. Let me say that, because he did a great job on covering this and getting the DMs and all of that. Great job. But it's possible that this is just not that big of a deal in college football today.
I mean, he threw for 379 North Texas, 434 against Tulsa, 340 against FAU. He threw for 280 in this game.
Right.
He didn't have some huge advantage.
Right. Should be a little embarrassing, given that they apparently do everything.
You know, Memphis defense at one point in that game, you're up 10, you give up 30 straight points.
Yep.
We're going to blame that all on, you know, that this could – no, you didn't get a stop. Some of it, you know, some of it on yourself. And again, Memphis's defense has been one of the areas that's really, you know, been an Achilles heel for Ryan Silverfield over the years. This isn't just – like, if it was a situation where you have a normally dominant defense and all of a sudden it's getting run up and down the field. Right. Well, what's going on? Well, this guy's got an advantage. Now he's got an advantage on. I could see us having, you know, this being of some significance here. What he gave them, I'm imagining, has probably happened some other places.
Right.
You know, Memphis, again, had better players.
That's right.
I think Traylor would tell you that, and Ryan Silverfield would tell you that if he was even being honest with you, and you allowed a lesser, you know, team come in here. Well, I mean, what was that line? You said 6 or 7.
It was like 7.5.
I think it
might have closed like 6.5. You know,
come in here and beat you on your own.
Well, it's like you said with Jeff. I mean, Memphis was supposed to win that game. They didn't win that game, and it was due to a lot of things. I mean,
you can blame it on this and hang it on this if you want to, but I think it's not being.
Well, I think like what we can agree on is UTSA had an edge provided to them by Memphis DB.
Yeah, dude, acknowledged the text.
Right. What is, I think, up for. Very much up for debate is how much an edge it really was.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, it's just like in sports betting, right? There are like 1% edges, and then there are like 10% edges. And the 1% edge is like, okay, it's good, it's nice to have, but it's not, I'm not putting my whole bankroll on that. 10%, it's balls to the wall, this is it, we're going all in. You know, like, I don't think that's what this was. Do I think it made UTSA's quarterback's job a little easier on the margins? Sure. It certainly didn't make it harder, but is it worth, like, you know, lighting down, you know, burning down the athletic department at in San Antonio for this? No, I don't think so.
They had no turnovers. Memphis had 2 turnovers
right
in this game. 12 penalties for 86 yards, more than UTSA. There were other reasons, other bigger reasons, larger reasons why Memphis lost this game. And you can't pin it to these texts, is what I'm saying.
Right.
And frankly, the way it played out, look, maybe you win that game, but who knows then what happens with the Tulane game if it goes the way it goes. I mean, you can't just say either, you know, Memphis wins this game, it's in the conference title game. You don't know how the rest of the season necessarily is going to go. I know
right.
all that's if, but nah, man, I can't. You have to win this game. It's at your place, you know.
Yep.
Come on.
Anyway, good stuff there. From
good reporting, though. No,
yeah.
I take that back. This one was in San Antonio, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the Alamo Dome.
I keep saying at your place.
Yeah,
was at the Alamo Dome.
Yeah.
But you were favored by 7.5.
It goes to show you how bad that UTSA program was coming into that one, you know? Like, they were not perceived by the market as very good at all. That Memphis was a 7.5-point dog on the road, or a favorite on the road. 7.5 chalk on the road. Crazy.
You do have these same characters back. I wish the AAC had pitted them again. You'd have a nice little rivalry going here. It's like, unfortunate that
God forbid the American do something interesting, right? I mean, that just seems like a game that should be on the schedule every single year.
But you've got it pretty stacked with Tulane, USF.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's one more on there I'm leaving off.
Navy.
Oh, you have Navy.
Yeah. But, I mean, take East Carolina out, you know? Take Rice out. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, I guess their position is we think Memphis Tulane is gonna be a game that might decide the conference every year, and that's a good bet. So keep that one. I'm just saying
they do every year. There's not a year right where Memphis doesn't play Tulane,
right? And that just makes sense because it's drivable, things like that. But anyway, interesting story here on a Friday, July 25th edition of the show. We got a lot to get to. Joe Theismann is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about this story, get his thoughts on Jaden Daniels, the NFL preseason starting soon. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. All right, we're back. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. And as promised, he is the great Joe Theismann, Super Bowl champ, Memphian here, proud a product of Notre Dame. He joins us every so often throughout the football season. He's nice enough to join us now. Joe, what's happening? Are you getting ready for some football, man?
Actually, I'm on the range getting ready to play some golf, but being that everybody else has gone to training camp, I decide the first day of training camp every year, I decide to go play golf because it brings back the memories that I had when I had a chance to play in Washington, and it just gives me that day off. So I know where all the guys are around the league, and I know where I am on this particular day, so it's a lot of fun, but I'm ready for some football. I'm ready for some exciting football.
Well, you've earned the right to play golf during training camp, right? That's what it's all about. So you should enjoy it. Okay, my question to you, Joe, would be: how does Jaden Daniels avoid a sophomore slump like the one we saw with C.J. Stroud, for example? How does he avoid that happening this year?
Well, I think he's. I just think he has to stay the course. He has a great work ethic, and I don't know how CJ prepared. I know it, you know, every year is different. It's a long football season. Jaden was fortunate enough to stay healthy and be able to learn and continue to grow and get better and better, and that's the most important thing. But I think Cliff Kingsbury did a magnificent job calling plays for him last year and, of course, him making plays with his legs. But they've added some, you know, different weapons around him, Deebo Samuel, for example, and Larry Tunsil on the offensive side. Of course, Von Miller's, you know, on the defensive side. So they've made some great additions. But I just expect him to continue to grow and learn in this system. Yeah, remember, that was the first year in a system for him. And he adapts very well. As Arizona State, he had a system. Then at LSU, he had a system. Last year, he had another system. And you just see the consistent performances he continues to put on.
Do you expect, Joe, and like you talked about, it seemed like Kingsbury kept it simple for him. But coming out of college, and we know those of us that watch him, know you did, had a beautiful deep ball. And is a guy who throws a nice deep ball. Do you expect to see more of that, like a sort of loosening of the reins, and you get more of the, you know, that Jaden Daniels deep ball that we love so much out of college?
I think so. I think you'll see probably the same amount. You know, people sort of get enamored with saying, okay, they're going to throw the ball deep. They're going to throw crossing routes. They're going to throw the ball short. What Jaden does is he does a really nice job of reading the defense and taking what the defense gives you. If he gets one-on-one outside, he's going to take a shot. If he has to come down and hit the crossing route, he's going to do that. That's part of the maturity that he showed through the course of the year as making good decisions with the football. Of course, there's that one caveat out there. The best receiver they have, Terry McLaurin, is not in camp. And you know, Terry had 82 catches, I think 13 touchdowns last year. So he put together one heck of a season. And hopefully they'll get the terms worked out and he'll have a chance to be able to throw to Terry again.
Yeah, there's a lot of quarterback movement around the National Football League, as you know, Joe. And, you know, one of the most prominent changes we've seen is Aaron in Pittsburgh. What does success look like for in this one year for both parties, for both Aaron and for Pittsburgh?
I think it'll be an interesting year for Aaron for one simple reason is he does have to be the assistant general manager. You know, when he was in New York, he wanted this player, he wanted that player, and management just said, okay, whatever you want, you're going to get. So he's basically the assistant general manager with the Jets. Here in Pittsburgh, he's just going to play football. And I saw this happen with Brett Favre when he made some decisions up in Green Bay, wanting people doing this, doing that. and his game suffered. And then the next year he just focused on football and he had a very good year. I think Aaron's case, it's a question of learning the system. It took him a long time to get into camp. Shouldn't take him long to assimilate what Arthur wants to do there in Pittsburgh, Arthur Smith. I think they have to support him with the running game. And you know Pittsburgh's going to play good defense. And Aaron's just going to have to do the things that we saw him do so well in Green Bay. Get the ball out of his hands. Make the throws when he has to. Much more mobile than people give him credit for. I mean, he's really a drop-back passer, but he has great movement. He's a little bit like Patrick in that regard. Doesn't run as much, but a little bit like Patrick Mahomes. I just think he has to, you know, basically stay the course and let the people around him make plays.
How about staying in that division, Joe Burrow? And it seems like the story out of there is, hey, should we play him in the preseason so that we, you know, to sort of combat these slow starts that they've definitely had. There's no sort of to that that they've had to the season. Seems like to me, Joe, it's, you know, you've asked Joe Burrow to be perfect. And we saw that last year against Baltimore. It's really Cincinnati's biggest issue is when are you going to get stops? When are you going to get serious defensively? I don't know. What have you made of the way they're approached? There's still the risk of injury if you run Burrow out there in the preseason. Is that their issue, Joe? Or is it really just all on the defensive side where they're fighting whether or not they're going to pay Hendrickson?
I think they have to pay Hendrickson. I don't understand. You have four key players on that football team. You've paid three of them. Now the other side of the ball, which has been the worst side for them, you're not coming up with the money to do it. You know, basically, when you look at the salaries, they range, you know, from $40 million to whatever. He certainly deserves to be in the top five, if not higher, when it comes to salaries go. But I think Joe is going to play in preseason.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've said that he's going to play some football in the preseason, and I think it's good. Yeah, you're always running. You run a risk in practice every snap you take. You run a risk in a preseason game every snap you take. You know, I would look for him to start a game and play at least a quarter to get a little comfortable with what they want to do with the wide receivers and stuff. You know, truthfully, guys, the way the preseason is set up now and everybody protecting their starters, the first two, three games of the regular season are glorified preseason games. That's where you get your conditioning. How many times you see guys fumble in the early part of the season? How many guys drop the ball? Because you just haven't been hit. You just haven't been in a position where you have to be able to hold on to the football. I think Cincinnati makes the right decision by letting Joe play. You know, sure you take a chance. But everybody takes a chance in one way or another. If you're going to hit in practice, if you're going to throw outs in practice, if you're going to throw live drills in practice, same thing. It's just a question of going in under the gun game situations, and I think it makes sense for him to play. Cincinnati certainly knows how to turn it on at the end of the year. Now they got to figure out how to start fast. And like you know, you got Baltimore hanging in that division, and heaven only knows what Cleveland's going to do.
Right,
Cleveland doesn't even know what Cleveland's going to do. So we'll all find.
You know what? I said this. I think they ought to hire Justin. I remember the movie with Kevin.
Yes, Draft Day.
Yeah, on draft day. So, you know, as a matter of fact, I said that on draft day that they ought to just bring Kevin Costner in because he made a really good deal. And, I personally think what's going to happen is, you know, Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett are going to compete for the starting job. Probably go with Kenny Pickett would be one. Joe would be a two, only because if something happened to Joe and Kenny had to play, I don't think they have as much certainty in what they want to do. So Joe would probably be two. And then Dylan and Shadur would, you know, compete for the third spot, and don't be surprised if one of them comes up with some type of an injury and goes on IR. That solves the problem. That way they keep all four quarterbacks, and they got two young guys, because Joe's not going to play. We think Joe's not going to play forever, but in this day and age, you just don't know.
We're talking to the great Joe Theismann here, Super Bowl champ, Memphian here, product of Notre Dame. Joe, I want to ask you about this story that you may or may not have seen it unfolding in college football involving the University of Memphis, but it's very much a 2025 story. Essentially, last year, a disgruntled defensive back is alleged to have leaked elements of Memphis's defensive playbook and signals to a UTSA quarterback who, of course, they share a league with. UTSA went on to beat Memphis in one of UTSA's best offensive performances. From your perspective, how much of an advantage did that Memphis DB give UTSA if they were using those signals and elements of the playbook?
First of all, let me say this. I don't know anything about it. It would be wrong for me to comment on it. I hope something like that didn't happen. Integrity is one of the important things in our lives to have, especially in the game of football. But there's the other part of it, just not taking this particular element out. If a defense knows basically what you're going to run, they know it anyway because they've studied film. They've studied the formations. They've studied the plays. They basically understand what you're going to run. They just don't know when it's going to be run.
Right.
And that's the element that is so key when it comes to handling an offense. When are we going to do this? When are we going to do that? You know, you can give them the same three formations and run three different plays and then turn around and give them those same three formations and come up with something else. Now, the first time the defense doesn't get it right, the coach basically says, we're scrapping all this information. We're just going to play our defense. So I don't know anything about that situation. I do know that, most everybody knows what everybody's doing in this league.
Right.
It's a question of players making plays.
Yeah, it feels like that would have been more of an advantage back before everybody had the film that they have now, right? Like,
sure.
There's just,
sure.
Like you said, there's no secrets in this game anymore, you know?
I mean, not anymore, no.
And that's, you know. I guess good and bad. I mean, everybody knows what you're doing. Like you said, it's just a matter of when you decide to do it. Joe, man, you are the best. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us
today.
Thank
you, Joe.
Always great to catch up.
Always good to be with you guys. Take care, and we'll catch up during the year.
Sounds great. Yes, sir. He is Joe Theismann, Super Bowl champ, MVP, and obviously a Memphian here on the show. Yeah, Jason, I think just sort of we talked about this, but it just seems like Joe – doesn't think much of the, and he said he didn't know exactly, but he seems to be of the mind that maybe UTSA couldn't have gained as much of an advantage as, you know, of course the coaches brushed it off as well earlier today.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't just signals. It was, but I guess you know about injury issues as well. He
right.
talked about the kid being little gimped up, whatever else. My thing is, it wasn't their best offensive performance. They were better the next 2 weeks.
Right.
I mean, that's the one thing about it. They didn't just, If you knew everything about it, seems like you'd abuse it every time out. It wasn't even their best offensive performance, I think, within that 4 week span or whatever it was. He threw for more. What did he throw for? 280? I mean, he didn't gut them. And so at some point, it's on you to get stops. Memphis's defense has been a problem under Ryan Silverfield the entire time. I can't absolve Memphis here.
Oh yeah,
and no, I don't. Do I think it's a huge deal? Probably not. But do I think it gave the kid an edge in terms of confidence and what to look for, which side to go to? Sure.
Yeah.
A couple of those plays were long bombs, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I had to go back.
I mean, that's Memphis's defense as a whole in the 5 years of Ryan Silverfield.
Yeah, it's hard.
80th in the country last year.
Yeah. Also, I think the biggest thing is just for the dude, Ryle. You're a POS, man. You're doing your teammates like that. You're throwing your team under the bus. Now, I know he clearly had some kind of grievance with Silverfield or the staff or whatever the case may be, but
right.
That's such a low place to go, man. To give anything to the opposing team.
Oh, I would agree. I mean, you've agreed to be a part of something, even if you're not anymore. Even if you have hard feelings, you should keep that within house, and that's what you keep that credibility and you keep that loyalty and you take it to the next place. But you don't. You don't burn that up. Again, I'd be interested to know why he felt the need to burn it up. He clearly tried to walk away from that thing like Denzel Washington,
yep.
Man on fire.
He did. He sure did.
Tried to blow him up. Now, clearly, our man knew he would be in trouble, the quarterback, because he said, when they cut you off, I got you, bro.
That's right. He did. Now, of course, they all denied, Traylor denied seeing it and having it brought to him and all those things.
But McCown did not deny that that was his text.
No, he did not. No,
he said based on the emoji, you saw. I was surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, he clearly got the info. He knew a little something extra. Probably gives you a little boost of confidence. It doesn't help win the game for you.
Right, right.
It didn't even get him to 300 passing yards, I don't think.
Exactly. But, again, I mean, I just think, this Taj Ryle guy was
Oh, he should be burned up. I mean, in terms of his college
yeah.
In terms of his college athletic eligibility with any program that's of any ilk.
Yeah,
you don't let that guy anywhere, within 100 yards of your program, right? Because you can't trust him.
My favorite part was when Cortland Marsh, who, of course, was the guy who was, implicated here as being the weak link, he put that 50-cent gif and said, what'd he say me for? You know, he caught the stray.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, was he at Samford now? He left? He must have been.
I have not kept track, but.
Yeah, I think he's at Samford now. Or is he back? Oh, is he, no, the Marsh, yeah. I know Ryell is there. I guess Marsh came from Samford. I'm not sure if he's still on the roster or not. I guess he is. But, yeah, it was quite the news story here with Memphis football. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come. Jason DeJohn, 93.9 FM, ESPN.